Welcome to episode 308 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on space and space travel. If you'd like to hear the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
We made it.
We did. Three takes later. You know, there are some days when you really should just stop what you're doing because everything went wrong.
Oh, goodness.
Yes. January 28th.
Ooh, uh-huh.
1986.
Yes.
Mission STS-51L. They should have stopped. Things were going wrong left and right. They should have stopped. But if they'd originally planned to launch this mission in the middle of 1984, it had been delayed months and months and months.
Until
the beginning of 1986. I'm sorry. They originally planned 1985.
Okay.
All right. There was a lot of pressure to just, let's just do this thing.
You guys have been talking about this forever. Sick of the meetings.
So it starts with the solid booster rockets.
Okay.
Which are the only part of the space shuttle that's actually bolted to the launch platform.
Oh, okay.
This was the 25th mission
and
the 10th launch for the Space Shuttle Challenger.
Okay.
The solid boosters were 149.6 feet long, 12.17 feet wide.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
For fuel, it's using ammonium perchlorate as the oxidizer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's other than the name, I don't know anything else about that chemical.
It's probably smelly.
And aluminum powder.
Oh.
Bound together with a resin and a little bit of iron oxide thrown in there as a catalyst.
Oh, okay.
Now, this is solid fuel. The whole thing about solid fuel is once it's on, it's on. It will keep burning until there's no fuel left.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant that you had to get rid of all of the 1.1 million pounds of fuel before these rockets would stop rocketing.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, okay.
Their total weight at takeoff was 1,300,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple hundred thousand pounds for everything other than the fuel.
Okay. Wow.
They take these things into the assembly building,
mm-hmm.
bolt them to the platform.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then they'd lift the tank into place,
the
external fuel tank, which is empty at this point.
Mm-hmm.
For good reasons.
Yeah, right. I wonder if anybody made that mistake.
Whoops.
Why won't this raise?
Anyway, they attached it two struts at the bottom and one strut at the top for each solid booster. Down way at the bottom, connected to the platform, they're connected with four bolts apiece.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bring in the orbiter and hang it off the tank.
They've done all this work. Everybody's sweating, and they're just like, it's like putting the tree on the, or excuse me, the star on the top of the tree.
Yeah, they actually call this the space shuttle stack.
Okay.
The entire assembly. Probably a term left over from, you know, rockets, when you actually are stacking one stage on top of another. Anyway, about a 5K jaunt on a thing they call the crawler.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really should do a Monday on.
Right.
Hours to get there, get up along the ramp, put down the platform.
Okay.
So far, so good. Now, the tower makes a bunch of connections, including on the top of the external fuel tank, a couple of hoses to take away the hydrogen and oxygen that is boiling off the tanks.
Okay.
They basically, they fill them up, and then they do a trickle to make up for what's boiling off.
Okay.
It was either that or build a really expensive and very heavy cooling system and include it in part of the tank. They also had a couple of things that would attach to the tail of the shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
And some hold-down bolts way down on the bottom that I'm not sure how they came in. They were ridiculously huge. Their mission was to let you turn on the main engines without the shuttle moving. Now, so far, it's been an amazing sort of, you were just saying, this is like playing with blocks, only they're millions of tons apiece. You might be wondering how they figured out all of this. Well, we talked about that on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I blame you. You asked a question.
I did? Oh.
The shuttle carrier aircraft.
Oh, neat.
Modified 747.
Mm.
It's just SCA.
Okay.
But I found out who built the orbiters.
Oh, okay. Oh, hey.
It was what was at the time North American Rockwell.
Oh, son of a buck. Okay.
Now it's Rockwell International, but yeah.
They've actually, much like any other aerospace, we have some contracts, and Rockwell comes up. There's Rockwell and Collins. There's just Rockwell. There's, I mean, yeah.
Ever build an orbiter?
I don't know. Us, no.
There was one more shuttle built.
Oh.
Even less of an orbiter than the Enterprise was, though.
Hmm.
You know, they built the Enterprise,
yeah.
Which was originally, since they were building it in 1976, going to be called the Constitution.
Oh,
in honor of the bicentennial, you know, in 1776,
mm-hmm.
200 years later.
Yeah.
But there was actually a letter writing campaign by the fans of the show Star Trek.
Okay. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and that's how it got named the Enterprise. When they rolled it out, they actually had some cast members there.
Yeah.
Including good old Leonard Nimoy. You remember Spock.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, may you rest in peace. The thing with the Enterprise is it's kind of expensive. They had all those controls in there to do all these tests.
Yeah, yeah.
So they built a dummy that they called the Pathfinder?
Pathfinder.
The Pathfinder. I'm sorry.
It's hot today. What's the nearest
the cool Pathfinder.
Okay.
And it was just made out of steel and wood. A little bit shorter and a little bit lighter than the actual orbiter turned out to be.
Okay.
You know, you're talking about trying to get one of the orbiters back to its final resting place
mm-hmm.
through L.A.
Yeah, yeah.
This is why they built the dummy one. Is there clearance to turn the shuttle here? Will it mount to the boosters and external fuel tank? What's it like to move it when it's on the platform? All of
questions.
That stuff.
Important,
yes,
yeah.
And a lot less risky.
Yeah, right? Would.
When you've got the preschool playhouse version of a space shuttle to work with.
We thought about Legos, but I don't know.
That thing actually got bought and refurbished by some Japanese businessman.
Oh, okay.
For the Great Space Shuttle Exhibit in 1983 and 1984.
Oh.
And then it ended up in Huntsville, Alabama.
Where all good planes go to die.
Well, actually, it's the U.S. Space and Rocket Center.
Ooh.
In Huntsville. It's a museum.
Okay.
We've been there, or I've been there.
Uh-huh.
I think you were there.
It's a mystery to me.
Yeah. <I don't know. laughs> Me too. You'd think I'd know whether or not my brother was born. But...
Well, you're right. I was low impact for a while, maybe. I hope.
So, apparently, the space shuttle can't land when it's raining.
Really?
It's a fact that I heard from a YouTuber, so... It's coming down, it's heated up to well over 2,000 degrees, and as it's cooling down, there ends up being space between the tiles, especially on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
That black part.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and if the rain gets in there, it'll start to dissolve the glue. I was trying to think of it, either word would work. Yeah, yeah. Which would cause the tiles to start peeling off.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, and well, they replace the heat shield between every mission,
mm-hmm.
but you don't really want bits of heat shield raining down over the countryside.
You just say hi to your neighbors. Okay. We're back. Here, have a piece.
They had two space shuttle carriers.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them were bought surplus from American Airlines.
Oh, okay.
747s.
Mm-hmm.
So the orbiter is 122 feet long.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
Boeing 747 is 231 feet long.
Ooh, that's that's a tighter fit than I imagined.
Really?
I always thought it would be like this mosquito on the back of a behemoth, you know?
It looks like it goes a little over half, to me. But on the other hand, it's got to be far forward enough to not hit the other whatever.
Okay.
The orbiter had a 78-foot wingspan. Boeing 747 has 195-foot wingspan.
Hmm.
Yeah, they're huge planes.
Yeah. And you're going to put one on top of the other one.
So they buy the thing, and given that they're going to be carrying an orbiter hither and yon, they gutted it. They left a few seats in first class for the crew.
I like that. Did anybody want a tray table? What are we doing with all these seats?
That didn't even occur to me. But yeah, all the seats are gone. The decks are gone. The galley, the bathrooms, the associated plumbing and wiring, all of that is gone.
Wow.
And then they put in a couple of steel beams to reinforce the sucker.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put on the mounts.
Okay.
Now, this part's neat. It goes through the skin of the 747.
Okay.
And it's exactly the same attachment points they use to attach the shuttle to the external fuel tank.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And yes, there were two astronauts, in the orbiter when they did the glide test.
So they're sitting on top. They're sitting in the... Wow.
Yeah.
What a ride.
As far as I know, there's no hatch either. I think they had to ride all the
train tables.
So there's one attachment up near the front for the nose, and two near the back. For the back. Okay. All right. And for somebody, put a little label on there to help you out. It says, attach orbiter here.
Yeah.
Note, black side down.
Nice. Wow. NASA. Oh. Little jokes here and there. Just make the day go through. Did we ever... Are we going to come up to how they put the dang thing on top? I mean, is there...
Well, there's a crane thingy.
Gigantic?
A specialized crane thingy. Actually, you know the... help me out here. Vertical assembly building, left over from the Apollo program.
Oh.
They actually used that to stack the orbiter onto the tank and then put the boosters on and then roll it out.
Yeah, we got this building anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. Thrifty NASA. That sounds like a contradiction.
Yes, it does. Well, after we spend the $1 billion.
We spent $3 billion on this tray. All right, so this whole thing is sitting there on the launch pad.
There it is.
Minding its own business. Mm-hmm. Or being minded, actually. It's everyone else's business.
Oh, you're right.
In about minus 5 hours on the countdown, they start actually fueling up the external fuel tank.
Okay.
And about minus 3 hours, the crew leaves and heads for the pad, and they go down this catwalk and into what they call the white room.
Okay.
To do the, I don't even know what the procedure is for getting them in there.
Yeah.
It's got to be fun because you don't want them to, like, it's standing on its tail. Okay. It's vertical.
Yeah,
if you miss your seat, you might fall 20, 30 feet.
Holy crap, yeah.
And I know there's like a 15, 20 minute shut hatch procedure.
Oh, goodness.
Yes.
Did everybody go to the bathroom? You say that, but you're going to have to go in 10 minutes.
At about minus 10 seconds, just when whatever announcer starts, just has to go 10, 9, 8, 7, 8.
Yeah.
They do a burn off. Mm. There's some sparks down near the nozzles. The thing about hydrogen is that it leaks.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's two subatomic particles, an electron and a proton. If anything's going to leak. So they burn off any hydrogen that might have built up in the system.
Okay.
So that it won't, you know, explode when there's too much hydrogen. At minus 6.6, the main engines start.
Okay.
Now, at this point, you can still abort.
Right.
Engines have to come on, all three. They all three have to come up to the right pressure and be burning smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
And the hold down bolts are doing their job.
Okay.
All right. A bunch of things have to happen at liftoff, all at the same time.
Ooh.
Right? Okay. The arms that were taking, the vent arms that were taking away that extra hydrogen and oxygen gas, that has to swing away.
Okay.
The things holding onto the tail have to let go.
Okay.
The hold down bolts must retract.
Okay.
The four bolts apiece on the boosters have to be severed by explosive charges.
Ooh, goodness. Okay.
The boosters have to ignite.
Okay. Holy crap.
You got all that? Because now it's liftoff. Okay. Shortly after clearing the tower, they do the roll program.
Okay.
Because. Yeah. Because apparently, there's less stress on the orbiter if it's belly up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's underneath the tank and the boosters, and I guess there's less aerodynamic pressure on it.
Okay.
Right now, they're in an interesting part of the mission called Max-Q.
Okay.
It's as much buffeting and wind resistance as they're going to get through the whole thing. They actually throttle back the main engines.
Uh-huh.
Even the boosters throttle back, sort of. They're not actually throttled, but the shape of the propellant was designed so that there would be less thrust during this part of the mission.
Oh, nice. That's why NASA gets their job.
Yeah.
How do you even do that?
Well, do it well. Well, once they get past that Max-Q thing, both the main engines and the boosters, increase thrust.
Okay.
On a usual mission, on a good day, about 2 minutes after liftoff, the solid booster rockets are separated, again with those nifty explosive charges.
Jeez.
And I can't quite confirm this. I think there were a couple of tiny thrusters to push them aside, but I can't quite confirm it.
Makes sense.
One site said, yeah, it makes sense. And I could also see why that's a really bad idea.
Yeah.
That's not what happened. Unfortunately, 73 seconds into the mission, a seal had broken and 5,000 degree exhaust was hitting those two struts at the bottom.
Oh, goodness. Oh.
Yeah. On the, I think it was the right, I don't know. I don't remember which booster. I think it was the right one.
Okay.
Burns through that. So now the bottom is no longer attached. So
that could be a problem. That's a problem.
Booster rips the top strut off and slams into the external fuel tank.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. And every time I thought when I was a kid that it had burned through the fuel tank and it was an explosion that was the problem.
Yes,
there was an explosion, but it was at this moment it had been broken and it's traveling at 1.9, Mach 1.9. The aerodynamic forces tore everything to pieces. And then just as sort of a bonus, there was also a huge explosion.
Wow.
And that was the end of the Challenger and unfortunately the end of the seven people crew that was riding it at the time.
Yeah.
All right, so shortly after the disaster, there's a bunch of name-calling and finger-pointing.
That's what we do, yes. Yeah.
One of the people they were trying to blame, Norton Thiokol Inc., I think. Actually, this company has like half a dozen names. They were founded in 1929, and they started by making sealants.
Oh, okay,
with this newfangled rubber stuff. But somewhere during World War II, it was discovered that one of the chemicals they were using, or producing, made a decent resin for solid booster fuel. So they got into that game. Now, they made the motor and the nozzle and the engine lining and so forth, and in the factory, they put together these different sections, permanently seal them together, all as well. And then they were shipped off to, I think, Pratt & Whitney, or I think, actually, it might have happened in the assembly building. In the field, these four resulting sections would be put together to make one booster.
Okay.
And in between each of those four joins were two O-rings.
Okay.
Right. So far, so good. It was known since 1977 that the substance they were using should not be flown if it gets below 30 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
At launch, it was 28 degrees Fahrenheit, minus 2 Celsius, approximately. It was too cold when they launched. And overnight, it had been minus 9 degrees Celsius. In fact, NASA got a call from Rockwell, the guys who made the orbiter, saying, hey, guys, I don't think you should launch when there's all that ice all over the tower and the pad and whatnot.
Yeah, you guys want to revisit this idea? We spent a lot of time building that orbiter. we kind of like it.
Nudge, nudge. Sometime before launch, Thiokol called them up and said, it's too cold. We can't be using these boosters under these conditions. This was a call from the engineers. NASA ignored it.
Okay.
And later, for some reason, the upper management, not the engineers of that company, call and say, no, it's fine. I know.
What? Who are you listening to? NASA. You're full of engineers.
I know. In fact, some of the engineers in NASA also kicked up a fuss, repeatedly saying, we can't launch like this. But there were people who didn't pass it up. There were upper management who went, oh, it'll be fine. As soon as you start saying things like, it'll be fine, in that tone, you might want to take a close look at your abort options here. And unfortunately, this wasn't the only fatal disaster with the shuttle program. But we're going to talk about that.
Oh.
Next time. See you then.
Bye.